Several years ago, as a growing family, we decided that we needed a second vehicle. So we got this 1988 Honda Civic, blue stick shift. Man, was that fun to drive. I remember when we got this vehicle, I just felt so grateful and was filled with enthusiasm for this new vehicle that we had. But that enthusiasm faded a couple days later when I got into the car on a cold autumn morning and turned the heat on, and there was no heat. And my enthusiasm faded a little bit more when just a few days later, I noticed that inside the car was really humid. There's a lot of moisture inside the car. It started to smell like an old dish rag. And I realized that water was seeping through the bottom, the floor of the car, off the road, and getting the carpets and the mats all wet. And I thought, what else could go wrong with this car? Well, that question would be answered just a few days later when I was driving and noticed an unusually large amount of smoke coming out of the muffler. I mean, plumes of smoke. It was so bad that pedestrians and other drivers looked at me with that look that said, "I think that car is going to explode. You better get out of that car quick." When you own a used car, you probably are used to things like that where you think, this thing is falling apart. What else could go wrong? And in some ways, that car is a little bit of a metaphor for the year 2020, isn't it? A year which so many things seem to be falling apart, where our sense of normal is falling apart, where our plans are falling apart. It's one thing for your car to fall apart and that be frustrated, but what happens when things in your life start to fall apart? It can be scary. I came across a letter that was written to a pastor that he gave permission for me to share. It goes like this: "Dear Pastor, when the pandemic first hit, I wasn't overly worried. But this past summer, both my husband and I lost our jobs within weeks of each other. It has caused significant tension in our marriage. And then one of my best friends was diagnosed with cancer. And due to COVID, I couldn't even go and see her. It was heartbreaking not to visit her. And as if that weren't enough, our landlady recently told us that she had family moving back to the area and that we would need to move. I feel totally overwhelmed." Then she concludes by saying, "It's scary how quickly so many things seem to be falling apart in my life. Pray for me." What do you do when you're in that place, when things feel like they're falling apart? What is it that you can hold on to? Well, we're going to pick up the story today of a man named Jeremiah who knows what we're talking about, because everything seemed to be crumbling in Jeremiah's life. His nation was under the constant threat of the superpower Babylon to come in and invade or annihilate their nation. And as Jeremiah looks around, he sees injustice everywhere and it breaks his heart. And Jeremiah has this impossible task. He is to call people as a prophet back to God, a people who have turned their backs on God. He's to call and to wake them up. But nobody listens to him. Nobody cares. In fact, they oppose him at every turn. And so Jeremiah is a person who is distraught, powerless, and feels utterly alone. And in that place, God gives him and us an image to hold on to, an image that can breathe hope into our lives in a time like this. What is that image? Well, in Jeremiah 18, verse 2, we read this: "Go down to the potter's house," the Lord says, "and there I will give you my message." So I, Jeremiah, went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. We'll pick up this story in a moment, but let's just pause there for a moment. And can't you picture Jeremiah, this gloomy prophet who's been sent down to this very ordinary place? And he's probably there thinking, "I don't know what I'm doing here. This feels like a waste of time. But he starts to watch a potter in action. And he sees how that potter takes a clump of clay and begins to work it with his hands like a baker kneading some dough, softening it and getting the texture just right, getting the air bubbles out. And then he watches as the potter places that clay on the wheel and slowly begins to shape it and form it. The potter puts pressure on it with his hands, just the right amount. And as Jeremiah is watching this, I imagine Jeremiah looks beyond the potter and he sees all of the pottery, the finished product, and it is gorgeous. And Jeremiah says to himself, wow, this guy knows what he's doing. He's a master. And slowly that clay begins to take form, to become something it could never become on its own. And I imagine as Jeremiah watches this, maybe you've seen this in action, maybe you've done it yourself, there's almost a tenderness, an intimate connection between the artist and the art. And as Jeremiah watches this, the word of the Lord comes to him. Verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. So are you. You are like clay in the hands of the potter. Over these weeks, we're exploring signs of hope from the book of Jeremiah. And I think this would have been a real sign of hope to him and to us, that in the midst of everything falling apart in his life, the Lord tells Jeremiah, see how the potter has the clay in his hands? You are in my hands. Jeremiah, you feel like everything is falling apart. If you're the clay, you would be falling off the wheel and splattering on the wall. That's how it feels. And yet I want to remind you that you're in good hands. You are in my hands. There was an old commercial that used to be on TV for an insurance company. And it was two hands and it said, you're in good hands with Allstate. And of course, the viewers would watch and think, you know, if anything goes wrong, a flood or a fire or a break-in, I have some security. I'm in good hands because I have insurance. And how much more can the followers of Christ remember? Can Jeremiah remember that whatever is happening, we are in the potter's hands? The first sign of hope I see in this passage is, in the potter's hands, I am secure. I am secure. And the potter tells Jeremiah, like, haven't you always been in my hands? And Jeremiah thinks of the early stories of creation, how God took clay and the earth was unformed and like an artist, he fashioned it. And God says, wasn't that me who did that? Isn't the world always been in my hands? And then God took some dust, clay, pretty much the same thing. It's just dust with some water, and he forms a human being. And the artist steps back and says, oh, what I have made is very good. God says, "What wasn't I the one who did that? Haven't I always been the potter? Hasn't my hands always been on the world? Jeremiah, haven't my hands been on you even in your mother's womb? I knew you. I knit you together in your mother's wombs. Jeremiah, there has never been a day where my hand has not been upon your life. If you watch a potter, you will notice that at no point does the potter ever remove at least one hand from the clay. And friends, remembering this can bring a deep sense of peace and security to our lives. This is a year where we need that, a season where we need that. When we feel anxious, I remember talking to someone who told me that he hadn't been able to see his mother who was living in an extended care home for months. The best he could do was talk on the phone and go into the parking lot and wave to her, She'd be on the third or fourth floor window waving back. And he said, it just wasn't the same. And every time on the news, he heard of an outbreak in an extended care home, he held his breath. And though full of anxiety to remember, I am in God's hands and my mom is in God's hands, and we're in good hands, we're in loving hands. Maybe you're a student and you're looking forward to graduation, but you're in Zoom classes all the time and you're wondering, when is this going to stop? And when I graduate, will I even be able to find a job? And in the midst of all the uncertainty, the potter says, you're in my hands. I've got you. There's a security that comes with it. I have also another friend who opened a business in Burnaby about 3 years ago. I was just chatting with him last week about this. Significant capital went into this business, significant risk. And just about the worst thing you could do to a new business would be to shut it down for 3 months. And yet that's what he had to do during COVID. And he admits that it was a very nerve-wracking time. He lost hair, he lost sleep as a result, but he came back to knowing this business is in God's hands. And I trust him, and I need to rest in that. Is there a place in your life right now that you need to be reminded that you're in God's hands, you're in good hands, and you can trust that? Where's the most secure place in the universe? Is it some country with low COVID numbers? No, the most secure place in the universe is in the hands of God. And when you realize you're in the hands of God, and when you realize that never at any point does God take his hand off you and off your life, in the potter's hands, we are secure. The second sign of hope that we see in this passage is that in the potter's hands, we are being shaped. We are being formed. Of course, when the potter takes us and puts us on the wheel, if we're the clay, he begins to form and shape us into the image of Christ. He begins to make our lives something that they could never become without his hands. Something beautiful. He doesn't change who we are. He makes us more fully who we were created to be, the best version of ourselves. And he draws that beauty out and we begin to reflect more and more the character and the image of Christ. To be a follower of Christ is to be on that wheel, the potter's wheel, and to be formed and shaped daily. How does God form and shape us? Like if he wants to bring patience into our lives, does he just wait until you're like in a moment of prayer and then he just goes, pow, and you kind of feel a little jolt and you go, there it is, I got patience. Or does he wait when you're watching an online service and zap, he gives you some perseverance? Or does he put you in situations where you are stretched, where you have to rely on him, where you are being molded by the potter's hands? Could it be that if God wanted to bring patience into your life, that he might give you a colleague that sometimes irritates you? You know those people who are in the Zoom call who always have their mute button on at the wrong time? And then they take the mute button off so you can hear them, and then you hear a dog barking in the background. You know, when I wrote that, I wasn't thinking of anyone in particular, but just now I'm thinking of a couple of colleagues that come to mind. Or does God, if he wants to develop patience in your life, does he sometimes do it through a disorganized, messy roommate? Or could he do it through a husband who still doesn't put dirty dishes in the dishwasher? Honey, I hope I got the wording on that one right. I think I wrote it down properly here. But whenever you think that you're irritating or annoying somebody, just tell them this: God may be using me to build character in your life. And just say, you know, you're welcome. But God uses us, he uses each other, he uses people and situations to shape us. Maybe you're in a place where you feel like, you know what, I've had a lot of shaping in my life, I'm done. God, please stop. I feel so many pressures in my life right now. I feel like my pot is going to collapse. You ever woken up and prayed the prayer, God, please don't let this be another character building day. I've had too many of those lately. But in that moment, we remember that the potter's hands are good and they're gentle, and he knows just the right amount of pressure. This image reminds us that God can even shape us in times of failure. Look at verse 4. The clay was marred in his hands, so the potter formed it into another pot. The people of God in Jeremiah's time were failing miserably. They had failed to keep their covenant with God. And yet, notice what God doesn't do to the clay. He doesn't throw the clay out and says, enough with this. I'm going to start over with new clay. No, it says that he forms that clay, that marred clay, into something new. That is an incredibly hopeful verse to know that in our failure, God doesn't give up on us, but he continues to work in us. He continues to shape us. And this is a lifelong pursuit. When we feel like we're failing in our work, you know, so many people have said, my job has changed so much and I'm falling behind and I feel like I'm failing. I'm failing as a parent. I'm failing in this relationship. I'm failing in my faith. I don't live out half the things I believe. And yet, in that place, God is working through our failure. He is making all things new, and so we can have patience when we see the cracks in our lives and in others, that the potter is still at work. God isn't finished with us yet. God's transformation process is a lifelong one. I was thinking about when I finished graduate school. I had my first job outside of graduate school. Maybe you can relate in your own way. And for me, it was serving as a pastor, as you probably could have guessed, at a church. And I remember feeling, starting that position with just a lot of energy and gusto and enthusiasm. Like, my time of preparation in school, my time of transformation and formation is done. And now I'm really ready to make a difference. I'm ready to make my mark. I'm ready to achieve and perform. And after a couple of years, I was so disappointed and so discouraged. I was discouraged at my lack of progress and at the systems and some of the people I was working with. And I went and talked to one of my former professors, and he said, Jade, you see this as a time of performance and achievement and what you're doing, but what if it's a time of formation? What if you are like clay that God is working on and molding, and it's a time of learning for you? And I wanted to say, but I'm done that time. I'm done that time of learning. I've been through that. You ever feel like, God, I want to be done with the formation and I want to be the finished product? And yet we come back to every day that God is forming us in new ways. Ruth Graham was the wife of Billy Graham. One day she was driving with a family member through town, and there was all this construction and detours and signs. She came to the end of it, and it said, end of construction, thanks for your patience. And Ruth Graham told her family members, that's what I want on my tombstone. And that's what they wrote when she died in 2007. She realized that all of life, she was being formed and shaped. And that was going to last an entire lifetime. And instead of keep wanting to get finished, she realized this is God's transforming work. What would it look like for us to remember it daily? To stay humble and remember that God is still working on us. He's still shaping us. And when we run into difficulty, instead of praying, God, just get rid of this in my life, maybe we pray, God, how are you using this to shape me into the image of Christ? Well, let me conclude by asking the question, so what? What do we do with this? Or maybe the better question is, what kind of response is the potter looking for from the clay? And the answer is that The potter is looking for clay that is soft and shapeable and moldable and responsive to the hands of the potter. The potter is looking for clay that says, God, your will be done in my life. If we were to pray honestly, we would say, God, I think I'd rather be the potter of my life. I'd rather be in control. But I believe that what you can do with my life is more than I could ever do. The beauty that you can do with my life, you can make my life into, is far more than anything I could ever do. And I trust you. And so I willingly place my life into your hands. And I ask you to mold me and shape me in whatever way you see fit. A young girl named Mary, 2,000 years ago, was the one who the Lord came to and said, Mary, I'm gonna do something in your life that you're not expecting. And as the angel announced this, do you remember Mary's response? Mary said, I am your servant. May it be to me just as you have said. In other words, I'm yours. I'm yours. Whatever you want for my life, God, may you find me willing and responsive because I trust you and I believe that what you can do through me is far more than what I could do myself. Do you feel that prayer rising up within you, that prayer that says, I am yours. I am the clay and you are the potter. Pray with me. Living God, like Mary, we come to the place of declaring, here I am. Here I am, God. I am clay in your hands, and I trust in your goodness. And if you're in a place where you feel like so many things are falling apart, then may the Spirit of God remind you that he's got you, that you're in good hands. And may the Spirit of God also stir in you a desire for how he might shape you. Maybe there's something in your life right now that is difficult and you've been praying, Lord, just take this away. And could it be that God is using this to transform you into the image of Christ? God, we ask for your help. We ask for courage. And we ask you to keep us like soft clay, responsive to whatever you might do in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.